Welcome back to Daft on Draft. It's a very special episode, two-episode series of Daft on Draft. We are doing a mock draft, picks 1 through 32. I will be taking the even picks. Corey will be taking the odds. But first, I have to ask, Corey, how are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm doing really good. I'm excited to be back in the saddle here. This is our first mock draft we've done.
We don't have the picks ahead of time. We are making these on the fly, which is insane, but we're doing it.
I hate writing mock drafts. They're one of the worst things to write if you have to write one.
I hate doing mock drafts when I'm doing them, but I like writing up mock drafts because I think that it is a perfect time to kind of brag with your own writing about what you know about these guys and how they fit and kind of like why you're doing this, because I think, especially early on with mock drafts, it's about exploring different ideas and broaching different areas of approach here. So I think, obviously, it's only October here, so that's kind of what we're going to be doing here. We don't know what the order will be yet. We don't know who is even going to be declaring for the NFL draft at this point. So it is very much for fun. If you don't like the pick that we decided for your team, we don't care.
Call us fucking idiots. It's cool.
Whatever. Please, call us idiots online. It's fun.
Yeah. So I'm excited to get back in the saddle here. I like talking about mock drafts, though. Maybe it's the time element of a mock draft that...
Oh, it takes forever to write.
Yeah. Yeah, and unless you're paid, excuse me, on a salary or a stipend or something like that, typically you have to risk that the page views are going to hit for the investment to be worth it time-wise, but... I'm excited to talk about this. Let's go. So again, draft order is based on current standings in the NFL. We're using PFN's mock draft simulator here. So currently still the Carolina Panthers have the first overall pick. Carolina Panthers need a quarterback. Carolina Panthers also need some premium positions though, but offensive line isn't one of them, but wide receiver you could advocate is, with Adam Thielen is getting up there in age. Deontay Johnson is your probably top receiver right now. Outside of that, it's Jonathan Mingo as well. So, like, you could argue wide receiver is a big need. That's a premium position. Edge rusher, they just traded Brian Burns this offseason. Edge rusher is a premium position. They need edge rushers. They're currently starting Michael Jackson across from J.C. Horn at corner. J.C. Horn has a pretty lengthy injury history as well. Like, corner is a premium position. But what makes this pick difficult is that I do think Carolina has kind of built their offense around to give a rookie quarterback a situation to be successful in year one. Like, if they go out and get a wide receiver to pair with Deontay Johnson, if they bring back Adam Thielen for another year who can be just like a big slot or like can just kind of fill a role for them as a wide receiver four, then like they invested a ton of money in guard. Ike Ekwonu hasn't quite been the tackle you'd expect him to be. You would have expected him to be, but Taylor Moton is a very solid tackle as well. So I don't think they go offensive line here. But the question is, do we take another premium position, punt on quarterback for a year, maybe bring back Andy Dalton, maybe bridge with another veteran, and just take the best available player? Or do you take the quarterback here and just straight up replace Bryce Young? And I think they're going to take the quarterback here. I don't want to because selfishly I want him at three. But I'm going to take the quarterback here. And in my mind, I've done some work on these quarterbacks right now. Shedeur Sanders is the only quarterback that has kind of stood out to me as taken a leap in 20. I mean, Jalen Milroe has taken a leap as well, but he's taking a leap from a place where I thought just he wasn't an NFL quarterback at all. So like, but Shedeur Sanders, the things that were made him weak, bad against pressure. Pressure to sack was really high. Still is, but there's a little more context to that. He's stepping into pressure now. He's stepping through the pockets and scrambling up the middle of pockets. He's creating a little bit of outside of structure. So he's going to sell tickets, and David Tepper wants to sell tickets. So I'm going to send Shedeur Sanders to Carolina begrudgingly here.
Yeah, I'm not going to have to think too much about this pick for New England. They have their quarterback of the future in Drake May, who Drake May might end up starting against Houston in his first NFL game. I don't think that that's a particularly fantastic idea yet, especially against a team like D'Amico Ryan's Houston Texans defense. But I'm going to try to insulate him with weapons and weapons that you can just throw on the field and say, hey, I'm going to hand you the ball. I'm going to toss you the ball behind the line of scrimmage, and you're going to do the work, okay? Make things a little bit easier for your not rookie but second-year quarterback. Try to insulate him with talent, and then hope that Luther Burden has the type of growth as a technical route runner that you get from some of the other top guys in the league to become one of the top wide receivers in the NFL, because he has the athletic ability. He has the talent for it. He just needs to sharpen those skills a little bit to become that all-around wide receiver. We're going to give the Patriots a weapon in Luther Burden.
I love it. Next up is my Cleveland Browns, and I could really take a huge leap right here, take a huge leap and address the offensive line, which is really desperately needed in Cleveland. I'm going between that and addressing just the best player available. Travis Hunter's on the board right now. Martin Emerson Jr. is entering a year where he's got one more year left on his contract, and he went into the season where he could have been the highest paid corner in football with another solid season, and he has been abysmal. Greg Newsome is a slot only right now for the Browns. He'll kick outside if somebody walks off the field, and he's entering the last year of his deal. So, and the Browns like to draft a year out. They don't like to go into a contract year with a need. So they could go corner here. But their offense is the worst offense in the NFL right now. And I'm not taking a quarterback here because I don't like any of these other quarterbacks other than Shedeur Sanders, especially not third overall. But I'm going to bet on – this is going to be a huge leap here. I'm going to bet on traits at offensive tackle at number three. And I'm going to take a guy in this simulator who's probably like 160-something in the simulator. I'm taking Cam Williams third overall, man. I'm going to take Cam Williams third overall. Again, the only offensive tackle in the class with, I think, offensive tackle foot speed. Only offensive tackle in the class with an offensive tackle body type. Probably 35-inch arms. Big, big punch. He's 20 years old, man. So, like, this guy fits everything that I think the Cleveland Browns would look for in a young player. He's going to hit every single threshold analytically. I'm going to make the leap here. Cam Williams, third overall.
Cam Williams, third overall. All right, this might be a weird pick. It's really, really tough because we want to go quarterback for some of these teams,
but
the quarterbacks just don't exist in this draft class, in our opinions, okay? Like, there's absolutely no way I'm looking at Cam Ward here. Even though I am very, very excited about Jalen Milroe's development right now, there's no way I'm taking him this high. I'm not even considering Carson Beck at this point. And Connor Wagman can't stay healthy and played really, really poorly against Notre Dame to start the year. So going a little bit out of the box here, a little bit out of the ordinary, I'm getting who I believe in my heart of hearts to be the best defensive player in the NFL right now, Max Crosby. I'm getting him even more help on the defensive line right now. And we are going with defensive tackle Michigan, Mason Graham, somebody who you can put together with Christian Wilkins, who is already one of the best run defenders in the NFL when it comes to being a defensive tackle and not being a one tech, being a three tech, one tech. He can do a little bit of everything. Mason Graham can do a little bit of everything as well at 320 pounds. Reminds me a lot of what we saw from Jeffrey Simmons coming out of Mississippi State. Has unbelievably violent hands on the defensive line. He's a little bit of a bull in a china shop still right now, but if you can hone that energy a little bit, get him a little bit underneath of his skis a little bit more often, you're looking at one of the most disruptive interior defenders in the NFL in a couple of years with him at 320 pounds. We're not talking about a 290 pound under tackle here. We're talking about somebody who can clog holes as a one technique, has that ability, and we are pairing him with Christian Wilkins on that defensive interior. I'm excited just thinking about this potential.
I love it. I love it. That defensive line would be mean.
If we can get Tyree Wilson figured out.
Yeah, kick him to 5-tech and 3-tech, and that's, you'll probably be okay full time. Yeah. But, yeah. Jaguars. This one's really, really easy. Travis Hunter's still on the board. The Jaguars are starting Monteric Brown and Ronald Darby at corner. Outside of Brian Thomas Jr., it's Christian Kirk and Gabe Davis at wide receiver. You give that guy 10 snaps, 10, 15 snaps a game offensively. You start him at corner. This is a home run. Travis Hunter. I feel bad about putting maybe the biggest brand in college football in Jacksonville, but, you know, that's what we're going to do right here. Travis Hunter to Jacksonville.
Oh, maybe we'll get lucky and he'll end up in London. Who knows?
Yeah.
LA is... LA is an interesting, again, like these, it's so interesting because early on, it's still really tough to tell what team needs are going to be come April. It's just difficult to know for sure. It's also difficult because this class is super interesting. Now, they drafted really well. Braden Fisk looks outstanding. Jared Verse looks like every bit of the first rounder that he could have been. Cameron Kitchens is also starting for them. So the defensive side of the ball is finding a little bit. It's the offensive side of the ball that has been a little bit underwhelming. But you would like to look at the offensive line here for them. But what offensive tackle in this class are you going to take this highly? And so you look at corner. And Darius Williams is starting to get a little bit older. Did you get an upgrade from Kobe Durant? He's already wearing colors that are somewhat similar in yellow and black. Let's give the Los Angeles Rams Will Johnson here. Let them shut down an entire side of the field with his man coverage ability.
I absolutely love that. I mean, they've got holes. That Rams team is pretty bad for a reason, and they've got holes popping up everywhere. But premium positions, baby. Will Johnson, again, is some people's best player in the draft. You can't go wrong there. Titans. The Titans have used the first round pick the past 2 years on the offensive line, and you could justify them taking a right tackle this year. So Skoronski 2 years ago, J.C. Latham this year. Latham's playing pretty well for them too, but I'm looking at their wide receivers, and they're all 30 plus. They don't have, or Treylon Burks. They don't have a wide receiver beyond 2024 that, like, can make a huge impact for them. Listen, Brian Callahan is already fed up with Will Levis. It just is what it is. But look what he got out of Mason Rudolph when Mason Rudolph came into that game when Will Levis got hurt. So I think they could bridge with Rudolph for another year. They're not going to be competitive. And look at all of the 30-plus one-year contracts the Titans have. They are not going to be competitive again next year. I think they're still in the early stages where they need to continue to build up at premium positions. And if you take a look at that wide receiver room, it's pretty rough beyond 2024. So I think this is the perfect place for Teteroa McMillan to come off the board. So we're going to take, and again, that might be more an indictment on the offensive talent in this class to take a guy like Teteroa McMillan, who is by all means extremely productive and can do some really fun things at 6'5", but doesn't have the overall explosiveness that you would expect for a top 10 pick at wide receiver. But I'm going to take McMillan to the Titans here.
The New York Giants are a weird football team to look at because you can look at them and say that, like, they obviously need a quarterback. But Daniel Jones, when you look at the numbers so far this year, he's not playing like the Daniel Jones that we are used to seeing, or he's not playing as much like that. Having Malik Nabers helps quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
But when you look at this football team, it's a football team that doesn't look terrible on paper. And at a lot of the positions that I want to look at, they're pretty set. Kayvon Thibodeau, Brian Burns, Aziz Ojulari on the edge. So you're looking at, you know, somebody like Mykal Williams or Nick Scorton on the edge, or Abdul Carter. And Abdul Carter might be somebody who could play a little bit of off-ball linebacker and play as that pass rusher. So maybe that's a need that they could fit. You know, it's too early, in my opinion, for somebody like Malachi Starks, even though I think he's a fantastic safety. He's playing a lot of cornerback this year as well, and I kind of like the cornerback play that we are seeing so far in New York. So it's a really tough position to kind of look at and really dive into or know what their needs might be right now. Mm-hmm. But they always just seem to need something on the offensive line. And when you look at this class, you are looking at a bunch of offensive tackles that are probably guards at the next level. So which one of these offensive tackles are we going to move to guard and to take over for either John Runyon or Greg Van Roten? And I think the easiest bet, the best bet to make here is Will Campbell. There are higher ceilings, but I think if you want somebody to come in and day one be a, you know, they say it all the time, a decade type of player in the NFL, I think that Will Campbell is that guy.
It's hard to argue that. It really is. Especially they've gotten good tackle play. I mean, Andrew Thomas and Jermaine Illuminor.
Yeah, Jermaine Illuminor has been playing really well for them.
Yes, he has. He's a good player. So I think that makes perfect sense to go with Will Campbell there, who could potentially kick out. And Evan Neal can't even find the field, which Evan Neal has been atrocious since he was drafted there, but to the point where he can't even find the field. So that makes a lot of sense to me. And I'm kind of on the similar train of thinking with the Miami Dolphins. Teron Armstead is getting up there in age. They just extended Austin Jackson, but he by all means is probably a league average offensive tackle. Their offensive guards, Robert, are not good. Liam Eichenberg and Robert Jones are not good. And again, Isaiah Wynn is out, so that could change some things, but Isaiah Wynn's always out also. Yeah. So like, that's not a player you can count on. So I'm kind of in the same mold here of who's a guy that you could plug in at guard who can also play tackle for you if you need him to down the line. And as much as I love Emory Jones and as much as you love Emory Jones and his flexibility, he hasn't shown that technique, that technical leap that we both were hoping to pair with the crazy flexibility, core strength, typical offensive tackle length that he has as well. And that makes Kelvin Banks a safer pick here. And again, assuming Tua's health is long-term okay, that's a team that can compete still. Like, that's a team that can compete right away. And so I think they have to go with the guy they can play on day one, and whether that's at guard or at tackle, Kelvin Banks Jr. makes sense here for the Dolphins.
Yeah, and just think about that offense. They want to get the ball out very quickly. So although it's structurally different from Texas's offense, he will be asked to do a lot of the same things. Plus, a former run game coordinator there, they like to run the football, and I think that he is an ascending run blocker, is I think the way that I would put it. And so I really do enjoy that pick quite a bit. The Denver Broncos. What a weird football team right now.
Yeah, they've won three in a row.
They've won three in a row. Zach Allen looks like an absolute freak on the defensive line right now. Man, and you know, listen, they got a white corner, and the white corner's playing pretty
good. He's playing pretty good football, man. Did you see the picture that Patrick Surtain posted on Twitter?
I did. It was hilarious.
Oh, it's awesome. It was incredible. The white boys can't jump. Oh, man, it's so good.
So, I don't really know where to go here, except I do, because their wide receivers are really in bad. A tough spot. Yeah. Like, I have really high hopes for Marvin Mims Jr. Never really materialized. Like, there was injuries there, and they've had so many injuries at wide receiver for so many consistent years at this point. That's kind of where I'm looking at here. And I'm going with somebody who might be the fastest player in college football. He is very close to the fastest player in college football. It says Alabama wide receiver Isaiah Bond, but this is Texas wide receiver, because he transferred, Isaiah Bond, going to the Denver Broncos here with the 10th pick. And again, like, we're to the point already in this draft where I hate every single pick. Like, I hate that I have to pick this level of talent with the 10th pick, but that's unfortunately
Isaiah Bond is
just kind of where we're at. However, yes, we are looking at somebody who has the potential to be a 4-2-8 type of dude who you can also get the ball to in scheme touches quickly. A guy who the Miami Dolphins would love to have on their offense, as just that's the type of dude there. And when you were looking at a Denver Broncos offense that wants to get the ball out quickly and get the ball into playmakers' hands, Isaiah Bond makes a lot of sense here.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, Bond can cut a rug too. There's not a route that he can't run. So that
and that's what really his speed is obvious when you watch him. But the biggest thing with Bond that I noticed was the agility when I watched him. That was the first thing that popped out to me.
Yeah. Yeah. So this next pick with the Colts is really easy. They're starting UDFAs and seventh rounders at corner. Like that's where they're at with their cornerback room right now.
I've never seen more busted coverages in my life than I think I saw against Jacksonville.
It's nasty work. Yeah, it's nasty work. But the question here is, do you take the best overall DB or do you take the best corner? Because we could go Malachi Starks here, but as we've seen, even the best players in the draft, if they play safety, they get knocked down the board. Like 2022, Kyle Hamilton was the best player in that draft class and he went 12th overall. So like, I still think that safety is kind of a niche position where unless you know exactly how you want to deploy a safety, you don't take them extremely early. And so, and this is probably where I would take Savon Revol if he didn't tear his ACL, but I think this is too early for a player who just tore his ACL. So I'm going to go with the Notre Dame corner, Benjamin Morrison here to Indianapolis. Again, Indy with, who knows, Gus Bradley might not be there after this year, but Indy loves to run a lot of cover one, cover three. Right in Benjamin Morrison's wheelhouse. Yeah. So should be a pretty easy transition there to be a day one starter in Indianapolis.
Next team up right now is the Arizona Cardinals. And when I look at the Arizona Cardinals, I always immediately think the offensive line's got to be an issue, right? It's got to be an issue. But honestly, Froholt has played well for them. Mm-hmm. I don't know how he's playing this year so far. But I think that they could use, again, help on the interior. But do you really want to draft a guard this high? I don't really know where to go with them with what we are looking at on the board. I want to go edge, but like, I don't, it's weird because I don't know what their plan is at edge because you're looking at, you know, LJ Collier is playing defensive end for them. Belong it, like they got, you know, sort of like bigger defensive ends. And then they have Zaven Collins rushing the passer, Jesse Lakita, like smaller guys rushing the passer, Julian Aquara, Dennis Gardeck. And you have a bunch of those type of guys in this class. But which one do you want to take first? Which one do you want to take that high? Do you want to take more of a freak athlete? And this is something that going back to Jonathan Gannon's days in the Philadelphia, do they want the bigger, more sturdy athletic freak, or do they want the bendier, more explosive athletic freak on the outside? I'm going to give them Abdul Carter, but they love Jonathan Gannon and them love length in Philadelphia. They so do. Michael Williams being there, Nick Scorton being there, really tough to pass on those two dudes here. But I'm going to go with the speedier outside linebacker type in Abdul Carter.
Love it.
I don't love anything about that, but I do think that might be the best player we've selected in the past 7 or 8 picks.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good point as well. I think that could be a Malachi Starks landing point as well with Buda Baker kind of near the end of the line there as well. So, and if again, I think wide receiver is kind of Michael Wilson is their wide receiver too right now.
Yeah.
And so that could be a sneaky pick for the Cardinals too, but I don't hate the Carter pick too much. Chargers also, I guess the emergence of Quentin Johnson this year has been a little interesting. He's actually playing NFL football for them this year, where he looked absolutely
lost
a year ago. So that helps. I mean, their wide receiver room is still really bad. You know, this is a place where Jim Harbaugh could take one of his former players in Colson Loveland as well to get himself a pass catcher and a tight end. I think this is really early for Colson Loveland. Do you know what pick I really do love knowing who Jim Harbaugh is here? Do you know what I'm going to do? What?
It's Helm. Gunnar Helm.
No, that's not what I was going
to
say.
Oh, I was going to say that because he loves to run the football and Gunnar Helm can help you with that.
But like not talking about a tight end here. Let me see here. Just 1 second. If this, I got to check one thing here. Oh man. And the production of this back has really dipped after breaking up. Dude, I'm doing it here. Let's go freaking chaos. Ashton Jeanty, Los Angeles Chargers. Give Jim Harbaugh his Jim Harbaugh back. Let's go full Harbaugh. Let's go full Harbaugh.
We're going full Harbaugh. I don't listen. There would be nothing more Jim Harbaugh than to take a running back in the first round. It's just, it is perfect. Taking a blocking tight end like Gunnar Helm would also be very Jim Harbaugh thing to do. Taking Helm over Loveland, even though you coach Loveland, would be hilarious, like objectively funny. But not really what I think fits in that offense. I mean, I watched them against Pittsburgh, and Jim Harbaugh was just spamming first and second down runs.
Yep.
Just spamming.
And that offensive line's not bad. They're getting pretty good play out of Zion Johnson, who didn't play well after being selected in the first round over in the Staley era. I mean, they've still got Rashawn Slater and Joe Alt now. Like, their offensive line play is pretty decent. So, yeah, let's go full Harbaugh. Why not?
And a team that does love big, athletic, long defensive ends, even though they drafted Austin Booker for some reason in the fifth round, the Chicago Bears. This is where Micah Williams goes.
Yeah,
those 36-inch arms, that athletic marvel coming from Georgia. It is a great fit as long as Matt Eberflus is able to keep that job in Chicago, which I think he will.
Yeah, he should, as long as they perform the way they have been. Even Caleb Williams just has to be average for them to win 9 games, I think. So Seattle could go offensive tackle. They're starting Stone Forsett, that right tackle. Abe Lucas has been the right tackle, but he hasn't been healthy for 2 seasons now.
Yeah,
they just drafted a defensive tackle in the first round last year. They're getting really fun linebacker play out of Tyrell Dotson and Jerome Baker. I want to find a landing spot for Malachi Starks, and I just can't. I can't do it. I can't find it. Even to Seattle here, they could draft the heir apparent to Geno here as well. But again, like, what if you're taking the heir apparent to Geno? Take somebody who, although I guess you could, if you're gonna bridge Geno to Cam Ward, that might be a fun. That could be a fun little learning year there from Cam Ward to Geno, or Geno to Cam Ward, but. That offensive tackle, I think this is actually a really good spot for Emory Jones Jr. I think this is a great spot for Emory Jones Jr., actually. He plays right tackle right now for LSU. He could come in and start at right tackle as well. Again, with a quarterback who gets the ball out fast. So any of those technical issues that he does have might be a little easy on him there. But at the end of the day, I think outside of Cam Williams, we both agree that Emory Jones Jr. has the highest ceiling of the offensive tackles in this class. And we're talking midway through the first round now. And again, once you start getting to pick like 15, 16, 17, 18, these are guys who are fringe first round graded players at the NFL level. And especially in this class where scouts are saying there might be 10 first round grades in this class. So let's start shooting for some ceiling, even at pick 15 here. I'm going to take Emory Jones to Seattle and give them that right tackle to pair across from Charles Cross.
Yeah. You have been looking for the replacement, a placement for Malachi Starks, and opposite of Antoine Winfield Jr. would be so much fun for me. The two guys that I absolutely adore, Antoine Winfield Jr., one of my favorite football players in the NFL, Jordan Whitehead on the final year of his deal there. I would love to go linebacker because I just cannot stand to watch KJ Britt play linebacker for them anymore. But I don't think I can really go there. And when I look at the rest of the roster, it's really tough to find somewhere where I'm like, yes, this absolutely needs addressed. Again, like, offensive guard feels like it can always be one that can be addressed. Mm-hmm. Right tackle here could be one, but like, they just drafted Luke in the second round.
Yeah, he's a good player too. Goddek? Yeah, Goddek's a good player too.
Yeah, but we're getting closer to the end of that contract there too. It's just, it's tough to find spots on this football team because it's a pretty decent football team. And I honestly don't really expect them to be picking 16th come NFL draft time. But I'm just going to go chaos here. I'm going to go with fun here. And I'm going to go with Malachi Starks, even though I think Scorton would probably be the pick that makes a little bit more sense as the, you know, somebody who can play a little bit outside linebacker and play a little bit of that five tech because of his size and his athletic ability and strength. but I just want to see the chaos of Antoine Winfield Jr. and Malachi Starks patrolling the middle of the field.
I love it. That team loves big corners too. They drafted Carlton Davis, Jamel Dean. Takario would have been a fun fit there too.
Yeah,
I do like Malachi Starks there for the Buccaneers as well. So that's it. Picks 1 through 16 right there. So let's read them back here. So Carolina first overall, Shedeur Sanders. The Patriots second overall, Luther Burden. Cam Williams took a big leap there, projecting a little bit because I do think he is ultimately going to be the first tackle off the board by the time the draft comes. But Cam Williams third overall to the Cleveland Browns. Mason Graham to the Raiders. Travis Hunter to the Jaguars. Will Johnson Jr. to the Rams. Tedrone McMillan to the Titans. Will Campbell to the Giants. Kelvin Banks Jr. to the Dolphins. Isaiah Bond to the Broncos. Benjamin Morrison to the Colts. Abdul Carter to the Cardinals. Ashton Jante goes full hardball to the Chargers. Mykael Williams to the Bears. Offensive tackle Emory Jones to the Seahawks. And Malachi Starks, safety from Georgia, to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So that wraps up our first half of this mock draft. Again, we have picks 17 through 32 coming up for you on Thursday. But we are at our 30-minute mark here on this podcast. So let's break it up and let's break this bad boy into two podcasts. But Dalton, any final thoughts? What's your favorite pick and least favorite pick for this mock draft?
Oh, a favorite pick is for me, it's the Mason Graham pick. Just imagining Graham on that defensive line is a lot of fun for me personally, especially because the Raiders just so recently had absolutely nothing on the defensive line.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I'm trying to think. I like your pick of Bond to Denver quite a bit, because again, that's how Bo Nix thrived in college, was three step ball out. If you want to send him on a nine round, if you want to give him a screen, if you want to put a slant or a stick, like, he can do that. If you want to do some play action, five step drops, he'll give you digs, he'll give you outs, he'll give you whatever you need him to do there. So I think that's a really good fit with that quarterback and with Sean Payton, what he wants to do there as well.
Jante to hardball is amazing.
Oh, well. It's so amazing. Good. It's so good. I was obsessed with that. I think my least favorite, man, I don't know. Let's go through here. I honestly don't like taking a quarterback in this class one overall.
Yeah.
Fair. And I think we don't even have another quarterback off the board in these top 16 picks, which tells you how we both feel about this quarterback class.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we haven't seen something like this since 2022, when only one quarterback went first round, and it was in the 22nd overall was when Kenny Pickett was drafted to the Steelers. So like, we can very well see this, but again, I think there's a lot in Carolina and a lot to their owner and what he seeks out of a player and how he hopes to monetize a player that makes too much sense there versus, and I do think that's a good offensive, like, they've built up that offensive line around the quarterback position already. So, but yeah. Yeah, I can live with this.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. We will be back on Thursday for picks 17 through 32. Until then, everybody, I love you. Goodbye.